I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be back in Sydney after some 18, 19 days in Singapore. And as usual, it was a very hectic time that we had there. And although we always try to go back to have a rest, but it's virtually impossible. Every time we go back and come back to Sydney, although refreshed in spirit, physically we feel that we need another holiday. Yes, that's how tired we feel many a time. But we thank God that we were able to minister to those who were in need, and also thank God for the opportunity that He gave us to relate with our loved ones and to share the gospel with those who are still outside His kingdom. And we are very, very glad to be back this morning. And for this morning, we want to consider this subject, use me or make me usable. Which? Now, which is the prayer that we ought to be uttering unto the one true living God? Lord, use me, or Lord, make me usable. Now, which do you think is the prayer we ought to be praying unto the Lord? Now, we shall try to answer this question as we go into the message. Now, one problem in modern churches, you see that in many churches, we are not the only church that is in this situation. Yes, we see that it is only a few people who are serving the Lord, but the rest appear to be spectators. And so usually it is the pastor, the session, a few zealous people in the church who are doing the work of the church, doing the work of evangelism, doing the work of missions, doing the work of follow-up, doing the work of counseling, doing the work of teaching, and so forth. And the rest of the members seem to be very, very contented to come to church on the Lord's Day and be here appearing to be worshipping the Lord. Now, what's the consequence? The consequence is a church that is lifeless. That is the consequence. Yes, only a few people are active, the rest are inactive, spectators. So the church becomes actually very lifeless. But that ought not to be the case. That's the point, my dear friends. That ought not to be case. Ought not to be the case. Because the Word of God tells us very, very clearly that we are all lively stones, living stones. The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, I read the verse for you. Peter says, you also, as lively stones, living stones, are built up a natural or spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are living stones that form the spiritual house of the one true living God. In other words, not dead stones, living stones, and we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And that would, of course, include offering ourselves as living sacrifices, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices unto the one true living God. So all of us, every one of us who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, must be alive. We are living stones. Now, you look at the living stones in the early church. The believers of the early church at the beginning of the when the gospel went out. Yes. Now, look at them. Immediately after the Lord ascended up to heaven, these disciples who had gathered with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives returned to the city of Jerusalem. Yes, the 11 disciples, because Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus and had gone to and had committed suicide. So 11 of them, plus the women folk, and a big group of them, were assembled on the Mount of Olives. And then they returned to the city of Jerusalem. I'd like us to look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. The verses that we read earlier on, I'd like us to look at verse 13. And, Acts chapter 1 verse 13. And when they were come in, the they here refers to the disciples, alright? The disciples and those who were assembled on the Mount of Olives. And when they were come in, the in here refers to in Jerusalem. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, you see, the number of names together were about how many? 120. Did you read the number there? 120. So who were gathered together for prayer? Just the disciples and the women folk? No, my dear friends. Yes, there were more than 12 of them or 11 or more than a handful. Yes, there were 109 other persons apart from the disciples. Now, these were the members of the early church. And all of them were engaged in this spiritual warfare. They didn't say that the church prayer meeting was the business of only a select group, only the leaders in the church. But they knew that the church prayer meeting was for all the members of the church. Everyone felt spiritually responsible to engage in the spiritual warfare. And friends, that's the pattern that has been set for us. Yes, every one of us must be engaged in this spiritual warfare. And this pattern has been set for us by the early church. And then sometime later, as a result of persecution that took place in the city of Jerusalem after the killing of the stoning of Stephen the martyr, the disciples were scattered abroad. Yes, the disciples were scattered abroad. But the disciples or the followers that were scattered abroad, my dear friends, were not the leaders of the church, not the apostles, but rather they were the ordinary members of the church. You look at Acts chapter 8. If you turn to Acts chapter 8 and look at verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. I read for you the verse, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was later on known as Paul. He was not converted at that time. And Saul was consenting unto his death, namely the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Except whom? Except the apostles. So the leaders were not scattered. The ones who were scattered were who? The ordinary members of the church. And what did these early Christians do after they were scattered abroad? And look at Acts chapter 11 and look at verses 19 to 21. Look at what they did after they were scattered abroad. Verse 19. I read for you the verses. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad, remember they were not the leaders of the church, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So when they were scattered, what did they do? What did they do? They preached the word of God, of course, unto the Jews only. But in verse 20, we see that they continue to preach, but this time to the Gentiles. Look, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. These were the Gentiles who spoke Greek, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did they do? They preached. 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So they were scattered, and they preached the word of God. They became missionaries. Now remember, these were not leaders of the church, ordinary members of the church. They were scattered and they became missionaries. They understood that the carrying out of the Great Commission was not exclusively the responsibility of the leaders of the church, but it was the responsibility of all the members of the church. The early church, as we said, is the pattern for our modern church. And let's understand, my dear friends, once again, that we are all living stones. We are alive. saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have spiritual life in us. And each one of us is to be active for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we get that message, friends? All of us must be active for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Yes, he wants us to show forth his praises. He wants us to show forth his power, his might, his attributes. Does not the Lord want to use us? Surely he wants to use us. That's why he asks us to show forth his praises. He wants to use us. So is there a need for us to pray, "Lord, if we are believers, Lord, please use me"? Is there a need for us to pray that prayer? Maybe. But I think the more important prayer for us to make as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is this: "Lord, make me usable for you." That's the prayer that we must pray. Make me usable for you. The Lord wants to use us. But let's pray, "Lord, make me usable for you." Will we pray that prayer? Friends, we must pray that prayer, because we are living stones, lively stones, alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now the question is, in what ways can we be usable for him? That's the question we want to address. In what ways can we be usable for him? And I'd like us to consider this acronym this morning, WITNESS, W-I-T-N-E-S-S, WITNESS. All right, the first letter, W. Let's understand that the Lord has called us to be his witnesses. He told the disciples very clearly, and that message is the same message for us. It applies to us. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We are to be his witnesses. We are to be witnesses to the truth that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one true living God, and that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, was buried for us, and he rose up for us according to the scriptures. My dear friends, we are to witness to this truth. And then he told us to show forth his praises. We are to show forth his attributes, his praises. We are to show forth his transforming power working in us. No longer should we be living in sin. We should show to the world that we are indeed dead to sin and alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we must be doing. If we say that we want to show forth the praises of the one true living God, we must show that transforming power acting in us, and that this power has indeed transformed us. Now, then we are to show to the world also that we are looking forward to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we must show to the world that we are indeed looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now the question is this: when people look at us, can they say that we are different, that we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ? Different. Can they say that we are indeed setting our affections on things above rather than on things on this earth? Can people see that very, very clearly in us? Can people see the Lord Jesus Christ in us? Can they? My dear friends, if we want to be usable for him, we must clearly be his witnesses, and people must be able to see Jesus in us. But can they? That's the question. I could have told you this before, but I'll tell you again. A Christian baroness living in Kenya told of a young native boy who came to work for her. She employed him as a houseboy. Then after 3 months of service, this boy came up to this baroness and said to her, I want to resign from your service. Now remember, she was supposed to be a Christian person, a Christian person. Say, I want to resign from your service. The baroness, of course, wanted to retain his service because this boy was a very, very good worker. So she offered him a higher salary. And this boy said, no, it's not about salary that I'm wanting to leave your service. I'm asking you to write me a reference letter, right, to show to my prospective new employer. I'm going to work for an Arab sheikh. Now, this woman was very surprised. But why would you want to work for an Arab sheikh? I'm going to offer you a better salary. And this boy said this, I have not decided as to whether I would become a Muslim or a Christian. So I decided to work for a Christian to see how a Christian behaves. Then after my experience with you, I'm going to work with a Muslim to find out how a Muslim behaves. And after that, I'll decide whether I'll become a Christian or not. And then this Christian baroness said, why did you tell me this right at the very beginning when I employed you? Now, was there a need for anyone to tell this woman how she ought to behave? No need to. Yes, she had to be on her guard all the time to be a good witness for the Lord. The Lord has made it very, very clear to her. You shall be my witness. The same thing is said to us. You shall be my witness. When? Only for some time? For one day, 2 days, 3 days? No, my dear friends, all the time, all the days, all the time, every minute, every single hour of the day, we must be his witnesses. We must not let our guts down, my dear friends, if we want to be really usable for the Lord. Does that register, friends? I hope it does. Now the next letter is the letter I, W-I. I stands for intercessory prayer. If we want to be useful for the Lord, we must be engaged in intercessory prayer. In other words, we must be praying for others. Now, it is understandable that when we become new Christians, our focus will be on ourselves, on our own spiritual need, and on our spiritual growth. But as we grow in the faith, my dear friends, we must realize that we must become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord Jesus Christ engages himself in intercessory prayer, for he ever liveth to make intercession for us, we must also engage ourselves in intercessory prayer. We must be like him. Yes, we must be praying for others. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, pray ye one for another. And the writer of James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We will be of great use for the Lord, my dear friends, if we engage ourselves in intercessory prayer. Paul prayed for others. Yes, he showed us the example. He prayed for others, particularly for those whom he ministered to. He prayed for the churches that he ministered to. But did he not need others to pray for him? What do you think? Did he need others to pray for him? Yes, he surely needed others to pray for him. And so he says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. I'd like us to look at this first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Paul says, all right, to the Christians at Thessalonica. Now he ministered to them. He prayed for them. But he also made this request of the brethren in Thessalonica. He says this, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. In other words, pray for me and my fellow laborers. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So he needed others to pray for him also. So you see how important it is that we all engage ourselves in intercessory prayer. And you know, you really have a very, very vital part to play with regards to the pulpit ministry. Of course, you do not stand up here to preach, but the preacher is the one who preaches. But friends, in as much as Paul needed people to pray for him so that the word will have free course, the preacher up here also needs you to pray for him so that the word will have free course. Now, will you not pray for him? I trust that you have been praying for him, praying for the preacher who preaches from this pulpit Sunday after Sunday. And you know also that you have a very vital part to play, to pray people out of their troubles. Yes, when people are in trouble, you know you have a part to play, to pray them out of trouble. Remember, the Apostle Peter was imprisoned by Herod, King Herod Agrippa. Yes, he was about to be executed, but the church prayed for him. The church interceded for him. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. I'd like us to look at that verse. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Please refer to that verse. Members of the church, please help our friends to refer to Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Acts 12, 5. I'll read for you. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So, what did the church do? Did they just leave Peter in prison and let him be executed as King Agrippa wanted him to be executed? No, my dear friends, the church prayed for him. The church was engaged in intercessory prayer for him. And was not God pleased to answer that prayer? He was. God answered that prayer, God sent an angel and miraculously delivered Peter from prison. Well, today, friends, your colleagues, your loved ones, your relatives, particularly if they are believers, could be in trouble. They could. They might have problems in the home, problems in the office, problems in their schools, problems in their workplace, even problems in the church. And they might be persecuted because of their belief in the one true living God. Or they could be suffering from some dreadful diseases. My dear friends, you have a part to play. You could be of great use of the Lord if you would pray for these who are in trouble, to pray for them out of their troubles. Yes, you have a role to play. Now, we have been worshipping in this church. My question to you is, are you satisfied with the spiritual condition of this church? Yes, no, honestly speaking. Now, humanly speaking, of course, we say, yeah, I'm pretty happy with where I am, quite happy with this church. We've got good fellowship in this church, and therefore, I'm pretty happy with where I am today in this church. But friends, I know spiritually the condition of this church is not satisfactory. And I say it's not satisfactory. If it is satisfactory, we would be doing very, very much more for the Lord. Like the early disciples that turned the ancient world upside down, we here will be making a greater impact on the community and on the society that we are in. But are we making that kind of impact? Are we? Yes. What we need, friends, is a revival. And that's the truth. We need a revival. Now, a revived church, as I said before, is not an abnormal church. A revived church is the normal church. Anything less than that is subnormal. Now, let us be honest with ourselves. Is this a normal church or is this a subnormal church? Abnormal church, subnormal church, or is it a normal church? What do you think this is? Honestly speaking. Now, I dare say that this is a subnormal church. We are not a revived church. If this is a revived church, then we can say that this is a normal church. But we are not. Yes. So you say, what can I do? What can I do so that this church may be revived, so that this church may be a normal church? The answer is this. Engage in intercessory prayer. Pray for one another. Pray for a revival. And never let us think that our prayers are worthless. You may say that, oh, well, I'm just a nobody in the church. My prayers are useless. My prayers are worthless. No, my dear friends, the Word of God says it very, very clearly. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, we are not righteous by ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ has put on us His cloak of righteousness. And therefore, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are righteous in the sight of God. So are we in a position to pray or are we not in a position to pray? We are, my dear friends. And we pray based on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of God says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man is effective in the sight of the one true living God. Now let me read you this testimony. I believe I read this to you a couple of times before, but it's such a good testimony, I must read to you again. The testimony of these two old ladies in their 80s who prayed for revival in the Hebrides. The Hebrides are some islands off the north coast of Scotland. And these two ladies prayed for revival to come to the Hebrides in the 1950s. I read to you this testimony of these two ladies. In a small cottage by the roadside in the village of Barvas in the Hebrides of the northern coast of Scotland lived two elderly women, Peggy and Christine Smith. They were 84 and 82 years old. Peggy was blind and her sister almost bent double over with arthritis. Unable to attend public worship, the humble cottage became a sanctuary where they met with God. To them came this promise from the one true living God through his word. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And they pleaded, day and night for God's blessings to come upon the Hebrides. And one night, Peggy had a revelation. A revival was coming, and the church of her fathers would be crowded again with young people. Apparently, all the young people had stopped coming to church. The church was completely devoid of young people. But these two old folks prayed for a revival. They prayed for young people to fill the church. And God heard their prayers. Revival came to the Scottish Hebrides. Yes, once again, the churches were alive in the Hebrides. Now, I ask you, were Peggy and Christine Smith serving the Lord when they engaged themselves in intercessory prayer? Were they serving the Lord? Yes, they were. Yes. And do you think this service of theirs unto the Lord was most valuable in the sight of the one true living God? Valuable or not valuable? Answer? Valuable. Of course, we all know the answer. But my next question to you is, if we think that intercessory prayer is so valuable unto the Lord, why aren't we praying intercessory prayer? Why aren't we? If it is so valuable unto the Lord, why aren't we praying intercessory prayer? Now, my friends, I can't emphasize it enough. We must pray for others. We must pray for the church. Pray for everyone in the church. We must pray for our Sunday school. We must pray for our kids' club. Did you know that the numbers in our kids' club and the numbers in our Sunday school are dwindling because the children have graduated and they have now become older children? Now, soon, if there is no replacement in our Sunday school and kids' club, these two children's ministries might die a natural death. Did you realize that? So we must pray. Pray that the Lord will send children, and pray for the Sunday school teachers that they will continue to serve the Lord fervently. We must pray for our youth fellowship. We must pray for our ladies' Bible fellowship, for our uni fellowship, for our agape gathering, for our Sunday Bible study, for our adults fellowship. My dear friends, we must pray for all these various spiritual activities in the church. We need to pray for our evangelistic fellowship, our evangelism fellowship. Yes, all the fellowships in the church must be prayed for. The people involved must be prayed for. Now, I want to give you this challenge, and I gave it to you before. I trust that you will take up this challenge. Pray for your fellow members in the church. How can we pray for them without forgetting them? The easiest way, my dear friends, is to take up the church directory. Pray through every of the names. Then you will never miss out a single person in the church. If there are new friends in the church, just add the new names in the directory, and you will never forget praying for them. I throw this as a challenge to you. Pray for your fellow members in the church. And if you know what their needs are, pray for their needs specifically. Pray that the Lord will meet those needs. Now, and you are surely serving the Lord if you come to the church prayer meeting to pray. For at the church prayer meeting, whom will you be praying for? Yourselves? No. At the church prayer meeting, you will be praying for others. You definitely will be serving the Lord. And
What do I value personally from you? Most of all, of course, I value your encouragement after the Sunday worship service. When I shake your hands, you thank me for the message. And sometimes you say it's a good message. I praise the Lord. I feel very encouraged. But friends, that is not the encouragement I expect from you. The encouragement that is greatest to me would be when you say to me, Aloko, I'm praying for you. That is the greatest encouragement that you can ever give to me. And I'm very, very thankful that when I go back to Singapore and attend the prayer meeting in Singapore, I realize that the folks there are praying for us. And I stand up and I tell them that our church is where it is today because you have been praying for us. And it's true. They pray for us. That's why we are where we are today. My dear friends, we need to pray for one another. We need to engage in intercessory prayer if we want to be usable for the Lord. Now the next letter is the letter T. It stands for talents. What talents has the Lord given to us to serve Him? Use them, my dear friends, if we want to be usable for Him. Each one of us has received at least one talent from the Lord. At least one. Because the Word of God tells us so. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Word of God says, as every man has received the gift, every one of us has received at least one gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What talent has the Lord given to you? Use that talent, my dear friends, not for yourself, but for the service of others, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But some say, but Lord, I don't have any talent to serve you. My dear friends, that's not true. Because the Lord says, every one of us has been given at least one talent. It is not a case of our lacking in talent that is causing us not to serve. It is a case of our lacking availability, our unwillingness to avail ourselves to serve Him that is causing us not to serve. Now here's an interesting lesson for us to consider. And I believe I told you this story also before. Now this incident involves a group of soldiers serving in Shantung in China. One day a dog wandered into the camp of these soldiers with several leaves from a book in its mouth. The soldiers caught the dog, opened its mouth, took out the leaves, and found that these were pages from the Bible. They read those scripture portions, and they wanted to have more of these scripture portions. And so they followed the dog back to where it came from. The dog came from a missions hospital. And there the soldiers asked the people at the hospital to give them more of the literature. And of course the folks at the hospital were very pleased to give them the literature. And they took hold of the literature, read them, as a result of which the missionaries were able to minister to these soldiers. And as a result of the ministry, about 200 of them registered to make more inquiries concerning the faith of the gospel. My point is this, my dear friends. If God can use the mouth of a dog to deliver His message, can He not use us, my dear friends? Would He not be able to make use of us to share the gospel with others? The answer is yes, of course. Yes, of course. The only reason why we are not serving is that we are not making ourselves available to serve Him. So let's make ourselves available to serve Him, if indeed we want to be usable for Him. Remember, we talk about this man called Frank Jenner, who walked along George Street in the 1940s. Yes, every day he'll be walking along George Street in the 1940s. And then when he accosted people, this would be the question he would ask. Yes, particularly of the soldiers who came for the R&R in those days. He would say this, if you were to die in the next 24 hours, where will you be, in heaven or in hell? Yes, to every one of those persons, he asked that question. And he must ask that question of thousands of people. And many people were introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ through the service of this man called Frank Jenner. Now, if you feel that you can't use your mouth to give out the gospel, can you not use your hands? Can you not use your feet and hand out a humble tract? And let us not despise the power of the humble tract. And I told you before, I had a friend, a schoolmate, who became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ because he received a humble tract. And today he's an elder in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches. And a minister of the gospel in our Bible Presbyterian, one of our Bible Presbyterian churches, became a Christian because he received a tract. And then a lady who is today serving as a full-time worker in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches also became a Christian because she received a tract. So let's not despise the power of the humble tract. The humble tract contains the Word of God. And where there is the Word of God, there is power. So let us, by the grace of God, allow the Lord to make use of us, to use our talents, to give out the gospel, such as handing out a tract. Now you may not be able to preach. You may not be able to teach, but can you not do something, my dear friends, for the Lord with your hands and with your feet? For example, if you are able to drive, can you not drive people to church? Can you not provide transportation for people to come to church? Or can you offer your service to provide hospitality to new friends who come to worship with us? Now, the Lord has given some of us some nice, comfortable homes. Now, what do we use our homes for, my dear friends? For ourselves? The Lord does not give us all these things for our selfish use. Let's remember that. If the Lord has given us a home that is comfortable, can we not offer that to the Lord and say, Lord, be pleased to use my home as a place where I can minister? Can you not do that? Now, the Lord can use us, even if we are not great preachers, we are not great leaders. The Apostle Andrew, unlike his brother Peter, was not a great preacher. He was not noted for his leadership, but he was the man who introduced Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was also the man who introduced that little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord, with which the Lord multiplied and fed 5,000 people. Remember that? So friends, let us use the talents that we have to serve the Lord. We might not be great preachers, never mind, but the Lord can make use of our hands and our feet and our talent, other talents, to serve the Lord. Now, and as for talents given to us, let us understand this truth. All of us one day shall have to stand before the one true living God to give an account of what we did with the talents that he has given to us. All of us. And what will we hear from him on that day? Will we hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will we hear this from him, thou wicked and slothful servant, because you have been negligent in the use of the talents that I gave you? Now the next letter is the letter N. N stands for notching. Notching, N-O-T-C-H-I-N-G. In years gone by, I think today it might be a practice still, when a hunter got his game, what he did would be to cut a little notch on the rifle butt. And then as years go by, as he kills more animals, he will make more notches on his butt. And then the notches will be a measure of the success of his hunting experience. Now when David killed Goliath, that was not the first big notch that he made. He made notches before. You remember there was a time when a lion and a bear came and took his little lamb away. What did David do? Did he just stand by and watch the two predators take away his little lamb? No, he went after them, he killed them. He made notches. Now his killing of those predators was God's way of preparing him to fight Goliath later on in his life. Likewise, the Lord prepares us for higher service by enabling us to make notches along the way. We can't make a big notch right away. We begin small. For example, before you become a Sunday school teacher, you might have to begin as a Sunday school helper or become an assistant teacher. Now, you don't become a preacher overnight. You might begin humbly by being maybe a Sunday school teacher or becoming one who exhorts at the church prayer meeting or at the youth meetings or some fellowship meetings. And when you have made enough notches, the Lord will promote you to become a preacher of the gospel. Now, the next letter is the letter E. E stands for emulating or following. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be imitators of me, as I imitate Christ." How can we be usable for the Lord? My dear friends, emulate those who have been usable for Him. Look at the great heroes of the faith in the Word of God. Emulate them. Follow their example, not for the sake of following them, but follow their example to follow the Lord. Follow Abraham for what? For his faith in the one true living God. Follow David, of whom God said, "He is a man after my own heart." Follow Paul. Follow Paul for his faith. Follow him for his courage. Follow him for his faithfulness in serving the Lord. Follow him for his missionary zeal. Follow him in his steadfastness in fighting for the faith. Follow him in his faithfulness in serving the Lord. When you read more and more of this man called Paul, you will realize what a great servant he was. And if we are serious about being usable for the Lord, we might just pray this prayer: "Lord, make me follow you like the way the great Apostle Paul followed you." Now, other people that we can emulate are great heroes who live in more recent times in history. There are books and books written on the biography and the autobiography of these great saints of the Lord. And we have heaps of these books in our library. Go, borrow them, read them. Look at the great heroes of the faith. Follow the examples to follow the Lord. Now the next letter is the letter S. S stands for study. To be usable for the Lord, we must study his word. We need to study his word so that our faith in him will increase. And we need faith to serve the Lord. Great saints of the faith were great saints and great heroes of the faith because they had faith. And how may we have faith, my dear friends? The way to have faith is to study God's word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must study his word so that our faith will increase. And how can we know God's will today if we don't study his word? Today the Lord does not speak to us by an audible voice. He does not speak to us by great revelations. He does not speak to us by dreams or by visions. But he speaks to us through his word, and therefore we must know his word. If we want guidance from him, we want to know what his will is, we must study his word. Because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And then if we want our faith to grow, my dear friends, we must study his word. And if you are not growing in your faith, yes, I'm saying to you now, if you are not growing your faith, I suspect you have not been studying his word. You must study his word so that your faith will grow. And many times, I say hard things from this pulpit, such as abstain from all appearance of evil. It's a hard thing to say. Yes, you may not like to hear it. It's a hard thing to say. Or I would say, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And I would say also, be holy because I'm holy, saith the Lord. And then, in honor prefer one another. Now you might not agree with what I said, but friends, if you have been studying God's word, you will realize that these are not my words, but these are the words of the one true living God recorded for us in his word. And if you have been studying his word, every time I say those hard things, you know what you will be saying? You won't be saying that this preacher is, you know, talking nonsense, is behind time and so forth. You will be saying amen from the very bottom of your heart, because you will be saying this: this preacher is right because he's quoting God's word. He is right. And by God's grace, I will do those hard things that has been spoken from God's word. You will say that. Finally, we come to the last S, which is the Holy Spirit. Yes, if we want to be usable for the Lord, my dear friends, we must be guided by God's mighty Holy Spirit. We must be filled with his Holy Spirit. We must be controlled by him. But let's be careful what we mean by being guided by the Holy Spirit, what is meant by being filled by the Holy Spirit. Because today there are many spurious claims about the filling of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Let's be very, very clear about one thing. God's mighty Holy Spirit never guides us to do anything that is contrary to His Word. Every guidance of His will always be absolutely consistent with His Word. One day, a sister in the Lord called up my wife and posed my wife this question. She said she had been offered two jobs. One required her to work on the Lord's Day, but was paying her better, and the other job didn't require her to work on the Lord's Day, but was not paying that well. Which job should she be taking up? My wife, of course, told her this. What does the Word of God say? The answer is clear. Yes, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. To keep it a holy day. Keep the Lord's Day holy. It is meant to be a rest day. Now, of course, if it is work of necessity or works of mercy that we are going to get ourselves in, of course, that is legitimate. But I'm talking about other kinds of jobs. And you have a choice to take it up or not to take it up. And thankfully, this sister who called up was very willing to listen. And so, she knew that she was not to take the job that required her to work on the Lord's Day. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is clear. Yes, He will always guide us in accordance to what is taught in His Word. Now the next question is, will the Holy Spirit guide us to speak to unbelievers? Will He or will He not? The answer is yes. If we pray for guidance and are willing to avail ourselves, my dear friends, He will surely direct our footsteps so that we will have opportunities to speak to unbelievers. The question is, are we praying for His guidance? We must pray, my dear friends, pray for His guidance so that we will be the soul winners that He wants us to be. So let me sum up what I said this morning. Let's not pray for the Lord to use us, but rather let's pray that the Lord will cause us to be usable for Him. And to be usable for Him, number one, we must be the witnesses that He wants us to be. And people out there are watching us. We won't be usable unless, my dear friends, we are always on our God, on our guard. Always maintaining a high standard of morality, always maintaining a high standard, a standard which the Lord wants us to observe. And then we must engage in intercessory prayer. If we want to be usable for the Lord, we must be praying for others. And particularly, my dear friends, we must all pray for a revival in this church. And T, let us know the talents that the Lord has given to us and pray that by the Lord's grace, we will be using these talents so that we will be usable for Him. And then N, let's make notches for the Lord. He wants us to make notches. Let us, by the grace of God, make those notches for Him. And as we make more and more notches, one day He's going to cause us to make big notches for Him so that we will be of greater use to Him. Let us make use of the talents that He has given to us. Yes, I've said that already. And the notches also. And E, my dear friends, let us emulate great saints in the faith in our service for the Lord if we want to be usable for Him. And S, let's study God's Word, because it is through the study of God's Word that we gain knowledge of the truth. And when we have more knowledge of the truth, our faith in the Lord will grow. And as we must be filled, we must be guided by God's mighty Holy Spirit if we want to be usable for Him. So friends, let's not just pray, Lord, use me, but rather pray, Lord, make me usable for You. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your kindness. Father, this morning we pray that You will cause us to be usable for You. Help us, O Lord God, that we may be willing to be the living sacrifices that You will want us to be. O Lord, we pray that You will forgive us because we realize that we have not prayed enough. Help us that we may be prayerful. Help us that we may all the time be engaged in intercessory prayers. Help us that we may not be selfish, but that we may always have the spiritual interests of other people at heart. And Father, we pray that by Your grace, May you send us a revival in this church. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.